Thank you so much for tuning in. And yes, welcome to today's edition of the Citizens Forum. Today, the 28th day in the month of April 2026. My name is Osatuame Igaluchima.
And I am Dari Folani. A warm welcome to you.
All right, today we want to talk about Ibadan opposition meeting matters arising, because Nigeria's political landscape may be entering a defining phase ahead of the 2027 general elections, as major opposition figures and parties gathered in Ibadan, Oyo State, for a historic national summit. And so this meeting, which brought together heavyweights across party lines, signaled a bold attempt to unify the opposition and present a formidable challenge to the ruling All Progressives Congress. At the heart of the summit was a shared concern about the future of Nigeria's democracy, with participants agreeing that only a coordinated collective front can reshape the country's political direction. And so some key outcomes from the summit was that this wasn't just a talk shop. They actually dropped real resolutions, such as one presidential candidate's plan, as opposition parties agreed to work towards a single consensus presidential candidate for 2027. And the core message for this Ibadan declaration was to rescue Nigeria from what they described as poor governance and democratic decline. But before going further and placing a call through to our resource persons for today, that is Mr. Tunde Abatoh, a publisher, editor of News Dawn, and Larry Olontola, a retired DSS. At this point, we have Mr. Tunde Abatoh, publisher, editor of New Dawn. Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Abatoh. Yes, we're talking about the opposition meeting in Ibadan. Over 13 parties, yes, and major opposition figures were there in Ibadan. We want your opening thoughts about the meeting. How did you view the meeting?
Well, politics is a continuous process, and it involves building alliances, building parties, and some other things. But naturally, when you view that particular meeting, there's something bad in people coming together and to form an alliance. In every part of the world, especially in democracy Africa, for you to defeat an incumbent government, you need to form alliances. Well, the question now is that whether the time they agree to come together to resolve their individual differences is another thing. But that the meeting took place is significant. But one point I have to note as a very close observer of the Nigerian politics is that most of those people who were at that particular meeting, they just consisted of only the PDP and the ADC. And taking into consideration the fact that the ADC came out of the PDP. So you just have to, the leaders are really the problem. Why are they the problem? Because over a long period of time, the PDP had to divide in 2023 because some people violated the rules of engagement. And what was the rules of engagement? That power should come to the South. And right, that was the main reason why some people decided to opt out of the party. But invariably, in the last 1 or 2 years, we have seen movement from one party to the other. Mm-hmm. So if they have decided this time around to come around and form alliance, it will not depend on the fact that if their sound can be transferred into real action by actually forgetting their differences, coming together under one umbrella and be able to face election. Nigeria needs a very strong party system, because Nigeria is a multi-party state. So we need a strong opposition in this country for democracy to survive.
Okay.
Meeting is welcome. It's a welcome development.
Okay. There are 23 political parties in Nigeria, and you are saying that we need strong opposition. Is that not multi-party democracy?
The thing is that nothing bad in strong opposition. All these parties, look at what has been happening in the last 3 months or so. Now we have 36 states in Nigeria. Almost 32 governors are already in one party. Yes, by our constitution, it's a multi-party system. And naturally, nobody has decreed a single party system. But by politicians, their attitude of being inconsistent or not being able to be identified with a particular goal has actually invariably created the impression that Nigeria is operating a one-party system. No, far from it. Everybody is free to form parties. Whether they are now free to consolidate their alliances and do what is needed is another thing. Yes, you said that there are 13 parties present, but when you read out the names of those who are present at that meeting, you will know that they consisted mostly of the losing of the main opposition African Democratic Party and the breakaway faction, which is the ADC, when you look at it from that way. So you cannot build a party from the top. You build it from the bottom. So let us have, for instance now, if you recall that the APGA 2 years ago have already said that they have adopted the incumbent president. Accord, they were not visibly present. ANPP has been divided down the line because Kwame Nkrumah, who was the main leader in ANPP, has crossed over to ADC. So prominently, those people who are in that meeting, they were more or less members of the only party that was the real opposition party in Nigeria, the PDP. And for them to be able to bite what they have done, they have to involve many other parties. Look at the Labour Party now. I'm not very sure that Labour Party was present at that particular meeting, because the real figure behind the Labour Party has crossed over to the ADC.
Okay, so the core message of the summit that was held in Ibadan was that they came up with the idea of a single candidate, and this idea sounds powerful, but do you think it is really realistic, bearing in mind that we had all sorts of parties that were registered, yes, and they were at the summit?
I think it is a normal thing, but whether it is realistic or not is another thing, because the fact remains that most of them have ambitions. Are they ready to subsume their ambition in order to forget to pull on one candidate? You know what? The APC, when they formed it in 2013, they were not talking about the candidates, but already they were already talking about several people showing interest in being candidates. So when they show interest, except each of them has come out to say that we have subsumed our interest, we want to first of all build this particular party, I think they jumped the gun. They should have built the party solidly before beginning to arrange it. Now they are running against time. Against time, they said that by the end of May, a party, a candidate has to emerge. And between now and the next 2 weeks, the Supreme Court will give a judgment as to the suit filed by different factions between the PDP and the ADC. So that judgment will now determine whether they will go forward or not, because it is very crucial to the matters at stake.
Okay, Mr. Tunde Abato, you are a political scientist.
Yes.
This crab mentality of everybody wanting to get the shot at the same time, will it all go well for our democracy? Can we have statesmen who build over years and years and wait, and not that they should get there at that time?
That is what we'll be saying, that you see, the incumbent president now, you see, that is what makes the difference. He left office in 2007. Between 2007, when he left office, he was the only governor left in the Alliance for Democracy. He built it into Action Congress. After that, he became Action Congress of Nigeria. By 2013, 2012, he started the move. That Action Congress was able to capture the 5 states in the Southwest. Now, the Action Congress now reaches to other parts of Nigeria. Between 2013 and 2015, they were able to form a solid political party made up of 12 political parties that was able to wrestle power from the so until they decide to come together. Like I said before, that people cannot subsume their individual interest. When you forget your personal interest and you build the house, then after building the house, you now begin to think of how to get the power. When you now get the power, you now know what you use this power for. But without building the house, you did not build the house first of all. You want to start from the top. It's like you hijack a vehicle. You get a vehicle, and that vehicle that you got, you only got the steering wheel and the engine. The body of the vehicle is somewhere else. So they have to from the, like you said, I agree with you that our brain is that politicians are not ready to build their political parties as a grassroots party, so that by the time you come out for election, people will know you. But they want to form a party midnight, and the following day you want to go and contest election. Okay. It is not done like that. Especially they want to defeat a government that is in power. You need planning, you need time to do all those things.
Okay.
So those particular parties, yes. So the problem with our politician is that they cannot subsume their individual interests and ambition.
Okay.
To build a solid party.
Please help us to unpack the significance of Ibadan. Why Ibadan?
Well, I think when you look at number one, the only state that is totally safe for the really the opposition People's Democracy Party is the PDP, and Governor Seyi Makinde is the governor of that particular state.
Yeah.
Secondly, we have Bauchi State, but the man is now the governor of Bauchi State is neither here nor there. Yeah. I am telling you realistically, it's neither in PDP or in APC. So realistically, Oyo State is the only state that is left for them. It's the governor that can select to host them. Mind you, all those other governors who can put down the finances to hold such a thing, they have left the party. Who will finance that particular gadget? When we look at it in terms of logistics, in terms of, you remember that on November last year, or December last year, there was a convention of the other faction, the Turaki faction of the PDP. And at the end of the day, the court ruled that it was an illegal gadget. So that makes that party illegal. So when you look at it, Ibadan was choosing. And secondly, the fact that way, for some other reason we may not know, maybe they are trying to fly a kite that probably the person that will be the vice presidential candidate is going to come from Oyo State. That is left, it's a matter of conjecture.
Okay.
But realistically now, Oyo State is the only state that is truly PDP state.
Fully.
And you know, state government picks the bill of all this organization. It involves money, it involves a lot of things.
Okay, this campaign funding, is it not a misuse of public funds to use public money to fund political parties and campaigns?
It is clearly, but until the precedent is set by which part, parties will come out and state the position of their finances and they separate it. But you and I know that people in position of executive, they abuse their office by using state funds to run political party. Mind you, as we speak now, I don't know whether this case has been decided. The former governor of Delta State was accused of diverting substantial sums of money to the campaign of Alhaji Abubakar Atiku by using the state fund. It's still in court now. So you can see what is happening now. We set an example and we make an excuse that people should not use state money. No, you cannot rule it out, but you can use state resources. But as things stand now, most of the government people in politics, they use state funds to fund their political goals.
Okay, so talking about public perception and this alliance, because there have been calls that opposition in Nigeria is either in the ICU or in coma. So what role do you think public perception and voter sentiment would actually play to determine the success of this alliance?
Well, I think the public has to open their eyes very well in terms of the fact that people in Nigeria, they don't normally believe opposition can do much, but it can. By the experience we have in 2023, a party, and 2015, a party out of power, APC, then was able to defeat the ruling PDP. So they have to do a lot of carrying people along. But look now, most of the principal people in this particular party, in the APC, PDP now, most of them have changed parties several times. So that thing will send a wrong impression to the people that these people are not serious people. How can you be changing parties? So how many of your followers will continue to follow you to any other party that you belong to? So lack of consistency actually affected public perception of our politicians and our political leaders. But we have political parties that are grassly rooted in the people and determine where people are going. But because we still have one-man party that is only led by one particular person, so you keep on having the public will say that it is for his own personal interest. So the public are wary of people moving from one place to the other. Lack of consistency actually affected public perception and belief. But when you are consistent, like I said in 2015, you see, we were able to build the party from the grass to the top, and we were able to carry the people along. But I doubt it, and I'm not very sure whether this new move be able to galvanize Nigerians in spite of the problems we have.
Okay.
We'd like to be able to galvanize Nigeria and begin to see it as an alternative party to those people in power.
Let's look at the rhetorics. The reference to wealth here, is that charitable?
The most uncharitable statement to come from the chief executive of a state in today's Nigeria. It is uncharitable by in whatever way you look at it. In my corner of this week, I just said that, yes, I don't know. If the governor of your state was relatively older in 1962, 1964, when the crisis started, up to 1966, he won't pray for Operation Werte, because that Operation Werte actually affected everybody in the Western region. People that are not members of political party, you cannot go out of their house. You can come to your house and burn your house at midnight. I could remember that I was very, very small, probably 1964 to 66, 7 years old. Three houses to my father's compound in Abeokuta, they touched the person's house. And there was the fear that they would go and knock every other person that is identified with that man who belongs to the national NNDP there. So when you call for a state of wet here, it's a state of anarchy. It's a state in which nobody knows what will be the end. And you and I know the end of what happened, what started in 1964, that the thing ended in the termination of the First Republic in 1966 and the entrance of the military into Nigeria. So by a sitting governor to be calling for Operation Werte, I doubt it whether he knew the import of what he was saying, or whether he was saying it to gain public sympathy, or whether he was saying it out of desperation. But out of this thing, he should not have uttered that statement. He's sitting executive of the state. It is almost a treasonable offense, because those who know the history of Nigeria know that the crisis in Nigeria started for Operation Werte.
All right, Mr.
When they called the Southwest Wild Wild West.
Okay. Thank you for your analysis, Mr. Baton. Do you think this coalition have a realistic path towards unseating the ruling party for 2027?
Well, like I said, they are running against time. Time is of essence. If they can sink their defense, you see the problem where people cannot stay in one place is ambition. People push their ambition forward. They are looking for where they can use the ticket to further an alliance, to go forward, not looking for where they can build. So the thing is that I will not say they don't have a chance, but like in my heart of hearts, I want a very strong opposition in Nigeria that is be able to counter and cover. If possible, we have a very strong two-party system in Nigeria, not the cream, but you have a system whereby you have a party. But unfortunately, PDP that should have done it, they started emasculating themselves from 2015, when they lost power. So from 2015, the decline of the PDP came down. PDP was supposed to have been the dominant opposition party in Nigeria. So, like I said, they are running against time.
Okay.
Time is of essence. Okay. So between now and May 30,
okay,
they have a lot of job to do.
Section 14 of our constitution states clearly the essence of government, which is to look at the welfare of the people, security of lives and all the rest. So how can democracy, this is our democracy that we've been having for 26 years now, people are wondering that democracy, is it demonstration of grace, is not delivering dividends of democracy? As a political scientist, what's your suggestion to how we can build a virile democracy and that so that we can have a Nigeria of our own?
Well, I think in spite of our economic challenges as a country, we have had a downturn in our economy. We have had to manage a lot of things that are not there. And the government of the day were very tough decisions. Because I always believe that to fix Nigeria require very tough decisions by any emergent leader in Nigeria. But the thing now is that to build democracy, we need strong institutions. We need strong institutions that will be able to stand up and interpret the law as per what the law is. And the people themselves must be prepared to do it. So we really need strong institutions in Nigeria, and we need strong people who can articulate very good ideas as to how to move Nigeria forward. Let me tell you, all those people who have been talking about they want to take power, have they told Nigerians what they want to do? Nobody. That is surprising. Nobody has said that, yes, these are my programs. But now, we have 8 months of election, because this is April ending. By this January, we are going to election. Nobody has come out to say, these are all the programs that I want to do. People should come out and say, and offer Nigerians alternative, not offer Nigerians themselves. They should tell Nigerians what alternative they have for them to come out of this crisis. And when you look at the issue of security crisis, if you ask me, in 1983, the chief of just said that the kind of mass poverty that we have in Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, is going to lead to a revolution. I want to tell you that, with all emphasis at my disposal, that the problem we have with insecurity in Nigeria started from lack of education. And a poverty-stricken puzzle is easy to induce with any kind of money,
right,
to do or commit any havoc. So poverty, pervasive poverty, is the cause of our problem. And all the states in Nigeria, I always tell people that we have 812 governments in Nigeria. How do I come to that? We have 774 local governments. We have 36 state governments. We have one FCT government, and we have federal government. All these arms of government, they share money at the end of every month. And between 2023 and now, the money they share has increased by more than 100% of what they get from the federation account. What are our governors using the money for? Our governors are allowing local governments to assess the funds that have been sent to them so that they can improve the lives of people. So government is not from the top. Let us start from local government. If local government are getting their money directly, they will be impacting it within the local economy. State government will be using their money within the economy instead of pursuing futuristic projects. Then federal government will face federal issues. But unfortunately in Nigeria today, most of the state government, they are yet to even allow local governments to fund their money because of the provision of the concern of a joint state local government account. These are the fundamental causes of insecurity in Nigeria, where money is not going on. We have federal government making more money and distributing same through the FARC every month. But is the money getting to the grassroots? That is the question we should ask ourselves. Because when there's mass poverty, the tendency to commit crime is very, very high.
All right, so on
poverty is one of our problems.
Okay, so on a final note, Mr. Abatson, would you say this coalition is a movement or it is just for a moment?
I wouldn't agree with the fact that this is not a movement. A movement is not formed like this. I think people just came together because they just wanted to seize power and get and win election. If it is a movement, it should have started long time ago. Oh, wow. And you don't need a fire brigade. The coalition is more or less of a fire brigade approach to issues. If there was no judgment from the Court of Appeal that some leaders of the party just hijacked that particular party, they will not come together. And they have seen it. It is so clear that they are threatening. They allow the law to beat themselves. They know when we are forming parties. They know when we are doing the registration of voters. They were doing registration. They are doing validation. Nobody was doing that. They are doing registration of party members. Now, because of the electoral act this year, you cannot cross after your party's confirmed primaries. You cannot cross from one party to the other overnight. So that is the problem. And they were there when they were when the National Assembly was debating this issue in the electoral act. Did they oppose it? That you cannot join one party today, tomorrow morning when you use your primary as a governor, you join another party and you become a candidate. So that's why I believe that it is a fire brigade approach what they have done in Ibadan. It is not a movement. It is a fire brigade approach to get power.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sincere gratitude. Robust analysis of the situation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Tunde Abatson. We really appreciate you.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure. Yes.